Valuetown is a production of HearthSim. Find out how to support Valuetown by going to patreon.com/valuetown. What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 181 of Valuetown. I'm Shane MV, and of course, Gara is joining me. But we've got a special guest today. Celissa's here joining us. Streamer, player, F2K person.
Person, yep, that's me.
But it's going to be a fun day today, guys. Like, what have you guys been doing? Just besides Puzzle Lab, have you guys been doing anything else besides that in the last day or two?
The puzzles are hurting my brain. I know. It's just wrecked right now. So much puzzling.
I don't know how you guys do it on stream. Like, I could never do it. I remember doing, like, some of the first adventure modes on stream, and it was, like, so embarrassing, like, messing up that I just, like, decided, no, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. So, but, yeah, Gara, like, both of you guys, Alyssa, I don't know how you do that. Like, it's crazy.
I love it, you know, because you see how difficult it is. And everyone in the chat is like, oh, this is so easy. Like, even the absolute hardest puzzles where all the, like, the top streamers are struggling, like Colento Dog, they're all like, Tides literally like had a breakdown at one of the puzzles. But everyone in the chat is like, oh my God, first try, easy mode. Oh, this is the easiest puzzle.
Yeah. I mean, I try not to watch anybody, right? Because I didn't want any kind of spoilers. Mm-hmm. So I haven't seen how everybody's done, but definitely they're finishing quicker than I am, because I feel like some of the streamers finished in several hours, and it's...
I think they're cheating. I think everyone who... No.
100%. They're cheating.
No, they're giving up. Like, there's no way.
Oh, you think they're looking at answers? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You think because so? That would be lame, dude, if that's what they're doing.
The puzzle mode is super great, but that's the hardest issue. It's just that, like, people... They want to tell you the answer so bad. My chat and I are almost having fights about it. I'm like, no, guys, please don't tell me the answers. And I'll put them in a moat-only mode so that they can't tell me anything. But they want to help me out so bad because they've seen somebody else do it already.
Yeah.
Or if they see it before me. And it's sometimes the case.
Yeah, so I wish I could just sit down and just play through it all at once. So I haven't quite gotten a chance to do it, but might as well just go straight into Puzzle Lab. We're going to be talking about Puzzle Lab clearly today, because it just literally just came out yesterday, the new adventure mode or single player mode for the Boomsday Project. So let's just dive into it. I mean, how many of you guys finished? Like, how many of you guys played? How many of you guys finished?
I finished two wings.
Two wings. Okay, good. I've done one. I've just done the clear the board one.
I've done two wings and one Dr. Boom.
Oh, wait, are we talking about even the Dr. Boom completing wings, or?
I didn't do one of them because I had to get off stream, but I wanted to finish it on stream. But I've finished one of the Dr. Booms, and I'm almost done with the other one.
Yeah, I finished one Dr. Boom. So if we're talking completing, that includes Dr. Boom. Okay, so I've only done the one, which is the clearing board. But it's more of a time thing.
Time-wise, the Dr. Boom ones take like 4 to 5 hours, if not.
Yeah. Oh my God, the clearing the board one, literally, dude. It took an hour and a half to 2 hours, I think, by itself. And I'm still not sure how I still think I might have run into the solution a little luckily there at the end.
It's funny because I was doing it on a call with Patra, but we were doing it separately, so we weren't actually working
helping each
together.
Other. Yeah, not helping
really.
Each other.
We were just kind of there for moral support almost, and like maybe talking out a few things. And for the Dr. Boom section of Mirror, we were just struggling so hard. And in the end, I think it took us maybe an hour, not sure, but we finished at the exact same time with two completely different ways to complete the puzzle.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't realize
that
too.
They'd
cool.
all have to be one way. And we solved them two completely different ways at the exact same time.
Really? Wow. Yeah. That's cool. Oh, whoops. I'm showing the wrong thing here. Whoops. That's not supposed to have. Hold on. Let me bring up this thing. Yeah. So for those of you that haven't gotten a chance to play the Puzzle Labs, just to give you just an idea of as to what it is, there's four wings, or what used to be wings, at least in all the other adventure modes. But they're basically puzzle types. So we've got a lethal puzzle, like find the lethal. You've got a mirror one, is what Celissa was talking about, where you just basically want to match your opponent's board. You know, whatever moves it takes to match your opponent's board. And then board clear, which is figure out how to wipe the entire board, including your minions. And then survival, which is how to get to 30 health. Like, these different ways to get to 30 health. Because the hero power of your opponent or the whoever the lab experimenter person is does 29 damage to you. So you have to get to 30 to survive. So each of these wings, they have four like mini bosses. And then you have Dr. Boom at the end of each one of these. So there's like, isn't there like 25 plus? I think there's like 25 plus puzzles per wing.
I mean, yeah, each wing has four bosses, but then there's at least six rounds within that, so mm-hmm. there's so many. Which wings did you guys do?
I mean, I've done them all, but I only finished board clear so far.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm like halfway through the others. So, you know, hopefully I can get to them like today and tomorrow.
I finished board clear and lethal. So because I fought, people told me those are the hardest, so I did those first.
Oh, you went with
you went the hard. Yeah, that's my boy. That's what we do, man. We go after the hard ones.
And it was hard.
They
like,
were
I'm hard. Not like these, hard, these random people man. In the chat like, oh, this was easy mode. No, it was hard. Like, yeah. Like the last Dr. Boom map, I think for every mode is super, super, super difficult. Like, this is just, it took me so long. Like, it's really hard. And it's crazy how much content it is, right? Compared to, it's so much content.
It's a lot of content. I mean, and I think it starts getting just a tiny bit challenging after you get towards the end of the third wing. You know, like then the fourth wing, you know, I think it starts and gets in the mode where you have to think just a little bit, right? But then there's the huge jump to Dr. Boom. Dr. Boom is just way harder than everything else. It's kind of crazy. It's like going difficult mode, basically, in one fell swoop.
The problem sometimes, too, is that Dr. Boom, you think it's extremely difficult when really there's a really simple explanation there.
Yeah.
And you overlook it. Well, for not, an hour.
Not the board clear. The board clear one was not an easy one.
Survival mode. Yeah, I overlooked something very simple for a long time.
Okay. Oh, that's
and
okay.
I had a breakdown once I realized what it was. Yeah.
Well, that's what they do, right? Generally, like we don't want to. We're trying not to spoil anything, guys. So we're not going to show any of the puzzle or anything. But you know, there's a lot of times they just add extra cards in your hand. You know, like they try to debate you with like a lot of like different cards and get you thinking in different ways. So there's definitely some of that in.
And the best thing, like I can advise people, is don't cheat. Like, don't look up the answer. You like even it doesn't matter how frustrating it is. It's so rewarding if you find the solution in the end. And it is really challenging if you do it without any help, without any cheating. It is super, super challenging.
Yeah, I mean, this is what gaming used to be. You know, like you're supposed to solve things yourself. You know, before the internet and you know ways to cheat. Basically, you're supposed to figure it out. So I agree with Gara. Do not, you know, and I think Celissa is the same, obviously, because you don't want to be helped.
If you would have gotten packs as a reward and you really wanted those packs, maybe. But at the same time, I think that's why they didn't do that. They didn't give you packs at the end because they really want you to try on your own to accomplish that final goal.
Yeah, it would have been, you know, I would have said it's hard to come up with these puzzles. Like, I mean, believe me, I think just coming up with questions for stuff like Streamer Showdown is already difficult. So this is another level. It's like definitely harder. But it'd be cool if it just varied just a little bit, you know, and maybe there were like three ways to finish it, but they didn't have to change it too much. You know, it's just like little aspects to that. But guaranteeing that there's a finish is, I think that's probably where the difficult part is with having some variance to it. But yeah, so overall, I mean, I can't wait to, you know, definitely try the rest of them. Which one's your favorite? Like out of the four, which type is your favorite?
I personally like the lethal one. That's why I did that first. I wanted to see like the most complicated thing they can come up with. Ant-Man, the Doctor, Boom for lethal one. And you have all the different difficult lethal combos. You have the patron one, like the like the most ridiculous patron board. You have like
the spoilers.
Most, I mean, I don't.
That's my like, patron. No, I'm just saying. It's just like a.
It's
like
it's
a,
not really spoilers. Yeah,
it's just like.
And then there's like the inner fire, like lethal ones.
Yeah.
With the most ridiculous, like.
Yeah, most ridiculous. I know which one you're talking about.
And there's like this man. This new. What is this guy called? Is it 02?
Yeah, it's the test.
The different one that gives you oh my god
it's not test dummies but it's if you've played the combo priest I think you have an easier time with some of these but if you haven't played the combo priest yeah
there's I was doing mirrors and I didn't play I haven't played a lot of priest combo priest at least and during it I'm just staring at it like oh my gosh I missed out on so much training but in the same time these puzzles I feel like have boosted my skill levels so.
Yeah it does get you into thinking I mean I played some APM priest and that some of those particular ones were really easy for me because of it it's just like you're already in that kind of frame of thinking so you kind of know what some of the cards do so and, right. and combinations do right so but yeah I can see how it could help you though it could help you see the combos better in APM priest
I was thinking when I did this puzzle mode is like they should replace the tutorial with an easier version of this. It would be so good. It's such a good tutorial.
Like, the lethal finding lethal they could. Yeah.
No, all of the ones like learning how to board clear with the you know cards like the file and whatnot, and finding lethals. And I think you really learn the game.
Well, I know for me, whenever people come into my stream and ask what they should do if they're a new player, I always suggest that they try the solo adventures because you learn so much through them.
Yeah, now that they're free. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
totally.
Especially because they're free now.
Mm-hmm. That totally makes sense. I don't think the mirror one has that much application. There's just not that many cards that are, you know, or minions or stuff that are placement centric, right? So I think that maybe in the future, if it was like the chess mode thing, then the mirror thing would make sense. But the other three, I can totally see that there's in-game application to all of them.
The mirror is nice because you can learn like, oh, I can apply certain spells to the opponent's minion, not just my own minions.
Yeah, that's true. There's a couple that I was like, oh, yeah, I totally forgot about that. Like,
you can say my own minion.
That's right, yeah. Just so you don't, you know, Artosis Sylvanas like anytime soon. But yeah, so I think my favorite is I don't like survival. I mean, I think survival is my least favorite, but I'd say I don't know. I kind of like the mirror one, to be honest. I don't think the mirror one's as hard, but I appreciate them making it because it's probably the hardest one to make.
I like the mirror one. I only did mirror survival and definitely mirror for me.
That I can imagine them screwing those questions up, like, you know, like, oh yeah, one more move, you know, when they're designing these things. It'd be really cool for them to make a video as to how they design the levels, like how are they when they make them, like what does it actually look like, you know, what tool are they using to actually make them, because I don't know, I would be really really interested in seeing how they do that, because that's really really cool, because the mirror one is not something that you would normally think about, right? Lethal, you could literally be taking screen snapshots from every single game, right? Like whatever final play there is, and then find the best ones. That's how they did that. Who knows? But
I think they did did they do that with Toast?
Was that actually true, or was Toast just memeing there with that tweet?
He might have been memeing.
I think
me
he was memeing.
Got
with
me,
that.
But
like, maybe I don't know. Maybe he wasn't. I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't
if he
know.
Didn't. But that's, you know, that's actually a good way. That's probably what I would have done. I would have just done a query on all their games. Final play, how many moves, like what are the final plays that took the most moves? And then just take a look at what those plays like look like. And then those could have been just the lethal puzzles or picking from them. That one's probably the easiest one, actually, I bet, to put together.
Yeah.
The lethal one.
Yeah, because the lethal ones you can actually pull from real game data.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they can snapshot like exactly the final board states of games.
I don't remember if the lethal one had artificial cards, because some of these modes have like these cards right. that you only have in the
yeah.
mode. And I think the
yeah.
lethal one in the last map of Dr. Boom, you have like a card that shuffles two copies in your deck, which we don't have in the game.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, like the clear one has like destroy all your own minions and stuff like that. So yeah, to like, your point, make it from scratch then.
It took me a long time to find one of lethal one. You have to do 1,000 damage, dude.
Yeah, really? I didn't know that. Yes. And the final one?
Like,
wow, okay.
It's you know what's so funny? Like, it's no spoilers, but the second to last one, you have to deal, I think, 400 face damage. And you're so happy when you solve it after like an hour or so. And then the next map, you have less resources and you have to do basically with the same cards with less resources.
I mean, how long does it take to do that much damage?
It took me hours.
Gosh, how long does it take you to do that much damage? You know what sucks is if you do that, you figure out some kind of damage combo and then you get to like 990 and then it ends and you're like, oh crap.
Like right
how,
there.
Yeah. How long, wow. like, how long of an animation does it take to even do that much damage? Does it take a long time, Gara? Like, yeah. it must take, like, yes. minutes. To
yeah, I go to the bathroom while I do a try. Because...
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Okay.
But the best thing is, like, for, like, 3 hours or so, I was 500 damage of lethal. And you're like, you think this is the best I can do, and you're still 500 damage of lethal. It's hard to deal 400 damage already. Like, you have to play the cards in the perfect order, and you're like,
okay.
How am I going
to
squeeze out 500 more damage?
I can't wait to see that one. That one's going to be a trip.
I think, but it is probably the second hardest one. The bot clear final boss is probably...
Oh, my God, dude. I was, like, racking my brain last night. It was like 3 in the morning, and I'm just, like, staring at it. I'm just like, oh, my God. It's like
you kind of have to step away.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it's really hard to see a second line. Like, you're on your one line that you think is right, and it doesn't work. So it's really hard to be like, okay, where in this line is it wrong? Or is there a different line that I don't see? So you almost have to step away from the game for a second to try and see something.
I know what
else.
You mean. I totally agree. There were times where I was just like literally just doing random things just to see if I picked up on anything.
Right. You're throwing out cards like this.
Yeah,
what
let's
happened?
Just do, let's just do this what I'm supposed to do at the end first and see what happens. And, you know, it's just whatever.
That actually worked for me once, so
right.
I'm okay with that theory.
Right.
The worst feeling is when you feel like you're on the right track. But it's a complete wrong approach.
Yep, yep.
Mm-hmm. And you're thinking for hours, this has to be the approach. But it's not.
Okay, so here's a... I don't know how we're going to do this without actually revealing like details.
I think it's
it,
a good tip, but it's
okay,
not a
so
spoiler.
What is your most embarrassing map so far, or one so far? I can describe mine. I can definitely describe mine. It was just
I can
stupid.
Also describe mine.
Okay.
I can describe mine, yeah.
Okay, so well, mine was the one with the angry chicken, which is like, oh my God,
I
felt
like
so stupid. I felt so stupid.
You have two cards.
Yeah,
like,
it's like two cards, and like I'm like, oh my God, I can't see the answer to this. It was so embarrassing. Yeah. And then I was finally like, oh my God, okay. After just like, literally. Putting stuff on
but,
random things for a second, I'm like, oh, okay.
You should have said something else, but just
spoiled. Yeah, my bad.
Mine was...
No, that's not a spoiler. I mean, it's not, though. It's not. I don't think so. I don't know, maybe it is. I don't know shit. I don't know. Spoilers, guys. Sorry if that is a spoiler. I'm not sure. It's just describing at least the board, right?
You should have said Abomination, and you have two cards in hand, and you can't figure out the board clear.
That's
how I would have described it.
That's a different one, dude. That was a different one.
No, it's that one.
It's
the angry chicken one. I don't want to say more.
Okay, all right. We won't say anymore. Okay. So, Lisa, which one was yours?
Mine? Oh my gosh. It was the survival mode, Dr. Boom. And
survival mode, Dr. Boom, that's embarrassing. I mean, really?
It was because I don't know how to say it without giving too much away.
But the answer was just like an obvious thing or something?
It's like a very obvious thing that
okay.
You should know. I mean, I've racked my brain for hours, and it's just because like one card...
Just didn't realize something about that card or something.
Yeah. Just like it's like a basic Hearthstone knowledge that like okay. Split my brain for an hour. So
gotcha.
Slitza is like, the Frothing Berserker one with the patrons. It took me 2 tries. I didn't see 64 damage immediately. That was pretty embarrassing.
But besides that, exactly.
No, I think I had like a meltdown on stream and went into crazy mode. And because my chat so badly wanted to tell me, and I just kept putting them in emote only mode. Don't tell me.
Emote only mode? Wow.
And then they can't tell you anything.
That's true.
Unless they try and use emotes somehow.
I've never been in a chat that's emote only. Wow. Okay.
Oh, it's great. It's super fun.
That's cool. That's actually a really good idea. By
do it Twitch. All the time.
Yeah, good stuff. But anyways, kudos to Blizzard for doing this. I mean, this is one of their best single player modes for sure. And you know, I think Dungeon Run and Hunter or Monster Hunt was you know, like a great one too. So right now I feel like they're on a roll, you know, in terms of these expansion single player modes, and you know, keep doing it, because you know, everybody's enjoying it. I think it just, like, you know, it creates like at least this new content, right? It's like another release, essentially, 2 or 3 weeks after the release. So
yeah,
it's kind of like their artificial way of doing that, you know, releasing more stuff. But you know, it works. It seems to be working. And if they have that like a nerf or whatever in another, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, then, you know, we're halfway to the next expansion, right? So
the cycle of Blizzard.
Yeah.
Or Hearthstone. There's always that cycle. So I love it.
Yeah, totally. Anything else you guys want to say? Talk about Puzzle Lab? Anything might have missed here?
Something that I noticed today is it's actually not so great to for us.
Whoops. Sorry, I just had the intro accidentally go off there.
A lot of people didn't watch, like, because they didn't want to get spoiled. Yeah. So this is like tricky with this type of content. Like,
yeah,
obviously you want to stream it. Obviously you want to like upload it on YouTube or whatever. But people don't want to get spoiled, right? Because it's something you really should solve yourself, or like that's like the whole fun. It's different than like showing deck lists and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of those instances where it's how do you put it? It's like, I feel like it's like the business side of all of this stuff really messes up the whole fun gaming side of this. You know what I mean? Like, it's like a race. Whether you're like a website, a community website, or you're one of the influencers trying to tweet or stream, it's literally a race to figure out who can solve these things the quickest and then get them up there for everybody. So
that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of our fault. I mean, it's the community's fault too, right? Like if everybody didn't want to see this information, then it wouldn't be such, more the content makers wouldn't be such high demand to make them. Right. So,
right. Yeah.
I don't know. Like if there was an actual contest, it would have been cool to have a contest. You know, like,
yeah, I was thinking about this. Yeah. Like, for tournament, it is like the Dr. Boom ones are super, super hard, right? Even for the best.
Yeah,
players.
Even for the smartest people. Yeah, exactly.
And imagine having like a tournament or so where people are just, you know, playing against each other or solving the same super difficult puzzle. That would be so entertaining to watch, because it's like nobody else has seen the solution to the puzzle. Yeah. It's like live. It would be so cool.
Yeah, I mean, you guys remember when I think it was like Frodan, right, in Twitch. They had the dungeon run, right? Like whoever, they had the tournament in the end for like $30,000 or something, like some enormous
was
amount
of money.
Was it
the Monster Hunt or the dungeon run?
I think it was the dungeon run. It was because you had to do it in all 9 classes, right? And I remember all these people practiced for like a week.
Right, because there was like 2 phases to the competition.
Right. You had to qualify by doing all 9 in X number of, I forget what the parameters were. But then all those people qualified, and then they would have basically 1 chance to try to finish it. And if you got eliminated for whatever reason, you couldn't go on and do the rest of the classes. So I just remember, I think it was Toast or somebody, practiced all week, was crushing it during practice, and then he gets his real run, and then he loses like after one or two.
No!
I can't remember. Yeah.
Oh, that's so bad.
It was like, oh my God, it was so brutal, because he got like just some crazy bad RNG thing.
The cool thing about the dungeon runs was that there's so much randomness that you can't like solve the dungeon run.
Right.
And with the puzzles, like if you would do it the same, it's super hard. Like, you know, if you are forced to do it yourself, but people would just cheat, right? Because this everyone does the same puzzle, and as soon as someone solves it, it will be on the internet. But the dungeon runs, you couldn't like, you kind of had to learn like all the mechanics and how to build the decks and
with
different approaches.
Right. Cleared it. Exactly. Yeah, because you would get different bosses. Like there was there's a different boss combinations. So the pretty huge difference. So you had to be able to solve all of them, or at least have some type of strategy against all of them. So that part it was pretty interesting. But you know, they could have done it. I think it's just a good idea to do an event like that every single one of these expansions. Just have a race, you know, like it's like a rat race basically. Just do a rat race for all these adventure mode things. Didn't have to be for $30,000, but it could be just whatever.
Or it could be.
Yeah, or it could be. Yeah, sure.
Why not?
Yeah, why not, right?
Let's
up it. 40.
It's up at 40. Okay.
Doesn't have to be 30K.
Funded. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, exactly. But okay. Well, anyways, Puzzle Lab, huge success. You know, I think keep doing those. Outside of Puzzle Labs, I mean, it's been pretty quiet week. I mean, obviously still stuff going on in the meta, which we can probably talk about now. I did a little mini meta pulses. Actually, let's talk about the popularity and power rankings. Pretty different than last week, to be honest. Like the power rankings, popularity kind of similar. I mean, some shifts there, but for the most part, not too different. But yeah, power rankings. We got Warrior on top now, which is like from about 3 weeks ago, crazy different.
That surprises me. But
yeah, Odd Warrior is just really, Odd Warrior is doing pretty well right now. So this is the last 24 hours, by the way. Oh, that little arrow is like a little bit further out. But yeah, so this is like last 24 hours, or maybe like more like 32 hours. So, yeah, we got Warrior on top, Druid second, Hunter third. Hunter was number one before. I think Druid might have been third and moved up. Rogue down just a tiny bit. Warlock keeps on sliding. Might have just come down just a tiny bit there. Shaman about the same. Mage about the same. Paladin down for sure. Paladin was like number three or something like before, I think last week. And then Priest staying at the bottom, but you know, moving up slowly in terms of the percent win rate. Any surprises here, guys? You're surprised by Warrior, right, Celissa?
Yeah, mostly because it is a very slow game, especially if you get a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the ladder, maybe that's not always optimal, but I have seen a bit of it watching some streamers at the top ranks. Especially versus Malagos Druid stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I can see it.
Hero power, hero power, hero power.
You can't do anything. Well, that's why Tyler runs as Alina, because he says you win versus the Warrior, which it's a hard win otherwise. So it kind of depends on what you're facing in the meta that day, where you are on the ladder maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Gar, any surprises, power rankings?
If Odd Warrior is like that good, then tomorrow I do Top 10 Legend Easy Club. It's by far my best deck.
The games are so long, okay, though, man. I've played mostly that this week.
And I only play Baku Warrior.
Yeah, okay, so me and you are the same there. I mean, they're long, right? My games are so long when I play it. Against Druid, against... it's another popular one that I've been playing against. Hunter, that's a weird matchup.
All I see these days... For me, at least, all I've been seeing is odd rogue, another odd rogue, a hunter with death rattle, hunter with death rattle, odd rogue. And it's just like constant.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense then. That means that all these anti-control decks I get encountered by all the aggro decks, and then Bakuvar is the best deck in the game because Bakuvar is the best.
That's why. Yeah, that's exactly why. Like Hunter's making such a huge, just to zoom up the charts, like in the last week or so. But yeah, the warrior decks. I mean, we talked about last week, right? I mean, there's different versions too. There's some that have like a little bit of more of the earlier minions, like the rush minions, and then there's the version that's just straight out control. Like literally, you're just building as much armor as you can, and then there's some that have like Elise in it too. Some greedy ones that have like, I've even seen Elise even in the last 48 hours.
I saw that today. Yeah,
and it's pretty good too. I played it a couple of times. But yeah, I mean, dude, with the Odd Rogue, I don't mind the Odd Rogue so much because it's like you know how to beat the Odd Rogue. You know, it's pretty clear how to beat it. If you don't get the cards, then you just lose, right? But you know how to beat it. The Death Rattle Hunter is a little trickier, man. The Death Rattle Hunter, I feel like sometimes just has explosive turns that you just have to risk sometimes, you know? But I don't know if you, what do you guys think of that matchup? Gara, you probably know since you've played a lot of it.
Which one? Death Rattle?
Yeah, Death against Death Rattle Hunter. Baku War against Death Rattle Hunter. Like,
I fatigued them now. I was super surprised that it works. Okay. I mean,
I used to lose doing that, like, though. Like,
the thing is, you have to fatigue them because Baku Warrior's win condition is fatigue.
Yeah, true.
Like, out-resource or fatigue, but you will not go, are not going to out-resource Death Rattle Hunter. It comes down to how, if they use both trackings, what they discard with the tracking, and if how fast they get the Rexxar. Like, if they get Rexxar on 6, and they don't discard Crucial, because you have to fatigue them.
Yeah.
And Dr. Boom is such a strong DK that you can actually deal with Fred Steel Fatigue. Like, it just gives you tools.
Yeah.
Like, don't run out of resources. That's usually the problem with Baku Warrior before. You run out of removals, and then they you could just keep playing minions from Rexxar, and you run out of removals. But through Dr. Boom, you will just, you will get, like, cool mechs that heal you also, remove stuff. So you get taunts, just so you get greedy with brawls and basically all the resources that you have till you can't fatigue them. It's super cool. But I think if they play correct, you should lose because you can really set up a board that Bakuvar just can't kill, like with cubes and eggs. And a lot of people play the dragon Death Rattle minion now. It's also super annoying.
Which one? Two? Or you mean the mech one? Okay. Yeah.
Because it's not easy to deal 2 damage and proc it. It's much. It's kind of, it's like, what do you have? If you think about it,
spell damage, earth shock, baby.
Slam? Yeah. Oh, nope, that's Baku. Just kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
Slam.
That's true. Nope. Solis, have you ever played that, Matt? Or do you play Baku at all or no? At Warrior?
I have not played it really. No. I don't have much experience with it.
It's brutal, man. I played a lot against the Hunter. And like you said, Gar, like I was trying to, for a long time, I was just doing the, you know, just trying to fatigue them out. And the games are literally like 25 minutes. Like,
you have to fatigue them.
It's crazy long. And so I was like, oh my God, I've played like 2-3 hours now. I've played like 4 games.
I can see the deck a lot in tournaments, but on the ladder, it just seems like, such a waste of time almost.
Well, it's waste when you lose. That's what it's like. Right. Oh my gosh, yeah.
But imagine doing an hour-long mirror match and then losing in the end. Oh,
it'd be a really cool analysis to compare Rexxar against Dr. Boom, though, because that's what it ends up turning into, right? Like, which resource ends up being, I think, the most efficient and consistent for you? And I think that's where Baku ends up losing if Rexxar has enough attempts at it, because a minion against a control deck like Baku is always going to be useful no matter what it is. You know, like whatever minion he just built, he just throws it down, you know, like, and then it's up to us to, as Baku Warrior, to figure out an answer to it. And
I don't know the statistics on this, but it feels like Hunter Death Knight is producing a lot more rush minions these days.
Oh, is it?
That's what it feels like, but it could be, you know, I'd like to see the statistics
versus last meta.
I don't know if there's just more rush or what.
I have that query saved. I could probably run it real quick. And people always ask us that, and it's like, it's not. It's generally speaking, it's always been pretty even. Yeah. But I can run it again and see, just to check. But at least with our data. But yeah, it's, I wish I got rush more, man. Like, I feel like when I play, I end up, you know, not getting lifesteal and poisons and rush. So it's brutal.
there's just so many variables in the matchup. When I think about it, all these fatigue matchups where you can actually fatigue, like Rexxar has obviously so much RNG, which beast you get every single turn.
Yeah.
But it's also a tempo loss. You can't empty your hand. And also Deathrattle Hunter has already so much value. Usually when you fatigue them, they have a full hand of value.
Yeah, that's true. Keep
pressing the button. But also Dr. Boom, which hero power you get in which situation is so important. Like sometimes you need a specific hero power to clear the board or like a specific mech, which gives you a lot of value. But also like Un'Goro pack is super important. You can get really good cards from Un'Goro pack from Elise. You can get like Meteors and whatnot, which is super useful, but you can also get completely useless cards. So there's a lot of variables. You have to play out the games.
Yeah.
It's like you can't really say, okay, this guy is going to win or you're going to lose.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, I think that there are misses with the hero power, with Boom. You know, like the Whirlwind one, even to some degree, the three damage one can be a miss too.
But the Whirlwind one can actually be the best one if you get it the turn you play Boom and you can't press the button. And it's actually the best one because everyone...
Okay,
sure. Indirect RNG. So if you get the worst one at the first one where you can't use a hero power, it's the best one because every hero power afterwards is going to be good.
Well, okay, true.
You know what
but,
I mean?
But no. What I mean is like, you know, if you're going to be pushing the hero power 15 times, which basically happens in this matchup, you know, probably 6 of them are not going to be great for you. You know, five or six of them probably won't be matching up perfect for you. And then the Hunter just gets at least enough tempo to wear you down, you know? So I think that's where it ends up going, but it happens so often right now. Like I wonder what the matchup frequency is on that matchup right now. Just Warrior versus Hunter. I feel like it's a lot right now. and it's super long. It takes a long time. Go ahead.
Another thing which I really want to like point out is I feel like Rexxar has the highest skill cap. What I've seen is people really build bad beasts or they don't know what beasts to go for.
What's a common mistake, you think?
Like I see like a lot of streamers and I'm like, I would have not went for this beast. Maybe because I played more Hunter or whatever. But Rexxar, when you look also at HS3Play.net, like Rexxar has a very low win rate whenever it's played, always like 40% or so. As a card, but in a lot of matchups, it's like the best card you can have. And I think just because people don't know how, you know, pick right beasts, I think people go too greedy or go for the wrong status effects. Another thing is, okay, as an example, because you said I should bring up a second, it's like stealth. I see that the top players, like Muzzy and whatnot, they always look for the stealth minions to set up like cube combos for it, like very early already, even though if it's like happening in 4 or 5 turns later. But I don't know, people just go for very greedy minions, like very expensive ones that cost like 9 mana or whatever. You never get them out or they will not do anything. Like they don't go for cheaper beasts. So you can play multiple cards and squeeze out hero power, play like 2 beasts in it. It's complicated because there's so many different beasts and so many different beast combinations. But I think in general, people just go for the wrong beast, especially the first pick. People go, I think, too high in mana or like very weird beast.
You definitely have to think ahead of what you want to do. Like, for example, I remember this one game I was playing against a priest and I got I ended up building 3 different minions with lifesteal that I could play within 10 mana right after they Alexed. And got myself all the way back to full health. Nice. But I was like planning way ahead.
Right.
You have to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. And yeah, I know what you mean. I think there is a nuance to this, like picking, and people probably haven't been talking about it enough in terms of how, you know, deciding games potentially. Right. But to the point of the stats with Rexxar, I think that's influenced too by the fact that Rexxar generally doesn't do well against aggro decks either, you know, so when it's played, probably losing to those decks, right? So it's a card that's generally not going to have a high percentage against like half of the decks like that. So I think it might be skewed a little bit because of that fact. But I do think
it might be actually one of the better cards of Hunter against aggro.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think everything that has Rexxar in it generally hasn't done that great. I mean, Spell Hunter, right, is good, but the other one's
really nice. First Paladin, it's great. First Paladin,
Yeah. I don't think that it's so bad versus Argo. And usually you set up a clear for Rexxar, and then Rexxar brings you back in the game because Rexxar gives you also 5 armor, and then you go for like defensive minions and heal minions and whatnot. I don't think Rexxar is that bad versus Argo, but the overall win rate of Rexxar is too bad. Like, because Rexxar against slower decks is insane win rate, right? So it should be above 50% for sure.
Yeah.
Or like around 50%, but it is really low. It's like 40%. That's like a very, it's like a card that is, I don't know, a regular 9 drop that is played from hand. I don't know if it's like from Big Druid comparable. Like if you play like a Sleepy Dragon from hand or so, it should have like a really bad win rate. I don't have it on top of my head, but it's comparable to that, playing like a super slow minion from hand that does nothing. Rexxar is much better.
What range are you looking at, man? Deck win rate I see is like high, dude.
Like, from Rexxar?
Yeah. Well, let me show you.
Played win rate from Rexxar is usually really, really low.
Oh, played win rate? Oh, okay. Played win rate. Played win rate is different, though. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, deck win rate, of course not. That says, like, a played win rate whenever I look at Rexxar.
Whenever 49%. I see people. Okay. Oh, I wish I could blow this up. It's not that bad, though.
But it's like... It's like Slissa said, like, I see some, like, I even watched, like, Akamanda recently, and he played against Evenlock, and he had, like, 10 turns to pick beasts. And he barely squeezed out the win after, like, 12 turns of Rexxar. But there were, like, so many different decisions you could have made overall for building beasts. And it was, like, some weird combination of, like, stealth minions and lifesteal and whatnot and fatigue. Like, really, really weird. And it really shows experience that you could have easily messed up some of the beasts.
Yeah.
Like 12 beasts in a row that you create. Yeah, this is something for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of these days, maybe Bainey or somebody will do an article on that, because that's a pretty fascinating article. It took a lot of, obviously, analysis to come up with, just a general pattern as to, like, people picking the right kind of beasts or having success with trying to figure out correlations there.
Go
ahead.
The way how I, it was like, I think one or two expansions ago, I actually looked up at, there's some good guides on competitive Hearthstone subreddit. And there was like a guide about Rexxar priority picks. And I read, this was like 4 pages long. I actually read that to learn. And I became so much better with Rexxar afterwards. That's like really like a tier list of beasts as the first pick or second pick. And I really learned a lot from that, just because I never thought.
Who wrote it?
I don't remember. But it's stuff like Mukla being one of the absolute best you can pick as the first pick. And you oftentimes think like, well, yeah, giving your opponent bananas is pretty bad. But you can do so many powerful minions just from the stats. Like all your rush minions are super cheap and efficient just mana cost wise, because you pay 2 mana and you get a tempo loss. But you get all the stats back. From Mukla, but you don't think about that, like how good it actually is, right? If you compare to every other beast you can get, and having like a tier list of all the beasts is very helpful. This is one of the things.
Yeah, where is the tier list of the beast? Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Like having an active tier list of the beasts, man.
There is.
There is one. So clearly, there is one. It'd be
cool. I've seen some people lose tempo by playing it on turn 6. Like, they could have won by turn 8 if they just kept their hero power. Because spending 2 mana to build a beast really diminishes your tempo. It's good against control, but that's something else I've seen, that they're playing the Rexxar wrong, in my opinion.
Yeah. So this looks like the Crucifer's asking where that article is. Gar, you're going to have to find that article, man, and link it to everybody. It's
pretty old.
It's pretty old. Okay. It sounds like it was in one of the subreddits, maybe competitive subreddit or competitive Hearthstone subreddit. Most likely there. That's where you're usually going to find
it. But the tier list changes every time an expansion comes out. Mm-hmm. It's same for taunt probabilities. And like, I get a little bit lazy, but like when I was super competitive, I always like, look, it's, for example, it's very important for me to know what is the exact percentage of which getting which taunt minion as from Stonehill Defender, for example. And with the last expansion, it was exactly 5%. So you know, okay, I have a 5% chance to get Lich King from Stonehill Defender as an example. Mm-hmm. It's good to know the percentage.
Yeah.
But it changes every rotation and every expansion, and you basically have to do everything again from scratch. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
annoying. So I'm basically waiting for people to make these.
they just added.
You're waiting for the answers, like Puzzle Labs, right? Yeah. What was that, Alyssa?
They just added a new beast this expansion to the to the Rexxar, because before it didn't have all the new beasts.
They left it off for a little bit, and I think they added it, right? Like
they just added them in.
Oh, they just added it? I thought they added in Witchwood.
Maybe it was Witchwood.
Yeah, it was like during some point in Witchwood. Yeah. It's all blended in together. Exactly. Witchwood and Boomsday, man. They can kind of run together. But let's talk about class popularity here. So Warlock just keeps coming down. At one point, I think like 2 weeks ago, Warlock was at 30%. So, 2 weeks later, we're actually down to 20%. And I think that has a lot to do with the win rate. The win rates just have dropped, for Zulok and Control Lock was trying to make a push there for a little bit. And I think that's pretty much died down at this point.
I'm back on the cube lock.
Are you? Oh, cube lock. Yeah. Cube lock seems to be getting a little more.
Anything with a cube in it is good right now.
that's a good rule of thumb right now.
It's my theory. Anything with a cube or Giggling Inventors is a good jack.
Yeah, that's generally true right now. That's
and I put the Giggling in my cube and it works.
So is it just like standard cube or is there any like is it basically cube with Giggling or is there any
cube other with Giggling new, so new... one less faceless the list I was running had a demonic plague in it, which is nice for certain situations and funny for stream.
Right. So entertainment value, of course.
Yeah, so yeah, because you could, especially versus like Malagos or something where that's what's in their hand.
So you got to Legend like in the first, is it the first day of the expansion this year or this season?
I got to Legend before the expansion, the second day of the month.
That's right. Yeah. That's quick.
And then I got Legend on my second account a few days later.
Nice.
Yeah. So in the first
catching
week.
Up to Gaara, man. Gaara, you got to get three, though. If you get three.
Three the first week is my goal.
I don't think you get three in a week, right? It takes you maybe a couple weeks.
But Slissa was like better than most pros this month.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it was like. Crazy. Yeah. That was impressive, man. Super impressive.
Grinding.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a really easy win rate. I don't know what happened.
Just playing better. It goes a long ways when you play.
Yeah. What happened too was last month I really focused on two decks, mostly because I didn't have golden heroes for them.
That's good reason.
So focusing on two decks for one whole month really helps me. And so then when the new month came, I just kept playing those two decks and bam. Oh, I'm here.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, it just shows you that like I think there's a lot of nuances to the decks, and
right.
For the most part people don't play decks long enough,
right? You just keep switching when you get irritated or salty, so just sticking to two, you learn those like little techniques to maybe a slight mulligan difference versus different decks, and when do you go wide? When do you go tall? Yep. Like just the tiniest things. And since the meta is so diverse right now, there's so many different decks you can play against. So the more you play one deck, the more you'll see how to win each matchup.
Yeah.
Which is the hardest part, especially if you're like in a 40-60 disadvantage, you have to know how to beat that percentage.
This whole concept of like performance meet, like rank or, I like to call it a report card in terms of just like piloting and performance. That's going to be coming soon, guys. So we're going to have that, we're going to have that feature available, I think, in the coming months for people to finally be able to differentiate themselves. Not just purely. Well, I mean, it's going to be based obviously heavily on win rate, how you compare it to like the average model. But you'll be able to say like, hey, I'm like a master level, odd rogue player, versus like somebody that's like, a gold level, we'll have that kind of thing like pretty soon. So it should be fun. But anyways, I just brought up the top five decks here for just from HS Replay last 32 hours or so. And ranks 4 to Legend. So we do this every week. Today, we just talked about, obviously Baku Warrior. So that's up there. Token Druid, Odd Rogue, Tempo Mage, Taunt Druid. Again, like this isn't like reflective of necessarily what's on the meta tier list. This is just like what are the hottest decks right now that have like 400 games underneath them.
I'm surprised to see Taunt Druid, but again, anything with a cube is good, so I don't disagree with it.
Yeah, right, like
cubes are just good cards.
Well, I mean, if aggro is, you know, super, super popular, I mean, Tanjiro's going to be decent, yeah. right? So, yeah, if you can get some value out of cube and insane value out of cube, you're in good shape, definitely. But Temple Mage is up here. You know, I think it took... I mean, it was probably really close or on this list last week. I can't remember if it was on the list.
I mentioned it last week.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
it was exactly. not on the list. I was like,
it was close. It was. I remember it being close, but it just wasn't. So it's finally
that
made,
fun.
Made its mark.
I like it.
Which one? The Tempo?
Tempo Mage. Yeah. Though so yesterday it made me slightly salty. I had some fun with it. I got 12 wins with the Brawl using the Tempo Mage.
Oh, really?
Nice.
I remember trying Tempo Mage in the first week and it was just crushing. Like, I mean, not crushing, meaning it was doing terrible and it was just like soul crushing doing it. So I just had to stop. I might have to go revisit it now. Now it seems to be a better place.
I had an 85% win rate the first day with it, mostly because everyone was being super greedy on the ladder, trying some really creative stuff, which is great, but a Tempo Mage will beat that.
See, that's what my hypothesis was too. But then when I played it, all these people would be playing heal class, you know, just decks, and I just couldn't ever produce enough damage. So, I mean, I didn't have some of these nuances like Anomaly and stuff like that. But
that's what it is. It's that spell damage card is so good, so nice, especially with what's the one mana card that shoots out the missiles wide?
Shooting Star.
The star shooting one, star? Yeah.
Oh, Shooting Star, yeah.
It's such a great combo to clear, especially versus the Paladin, which can be a hard matchup before.
Yep, that's true. No, Paladin's definitely taking a hit. I think Odd Paladin's coming down a bit just because I feel like all of these decks have an element to play decently against it. Token's probably the same as it always was, But these others do pretty decent. Odd Word is extremely good. I mean, it has like double MC tech in it. I mean, it's very, very prepared to deal with like the wide boards. So, anything else surprising here? Token Druid? Like, we don't really talk about Token Druid that much, but it's always just there. You know, it doesn't seem to go anywhere. For the most part, it's the same thing, but just with giggling, you know, like the old one with just giggling. So
whenever I see it in tournaments, it seems super strong. I just never see it on the ladder. I barely see it on the ladder.
Yeah, it's if I watch a pro or whatever streaming and they're trying to get, you know, to a certain certain rank, I always feel like they fall back. There's always a Token Druid in their list of decks
that they just kind of fall back on
exactly. And then I think Token Druid is one of those decks too that has a high variance in skill. So I think the pro players are just way better than your average legend player. So
I feel like also like the previous Token Druid just needed one more thing. And the Giggling Inventor is exactly what it needed. It needed this one more refill.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And like by the end of the previous expansion, people played Scenarios, which was already really good. But this was like way at the end. It was kind of like the last week of the last expansion,
mm-hmm.
where people included that. It's just like, when you play against it, you knew all you have to do is clear the two boards from the Sword of the Forest and Whispering Woods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whispering
and
Woods.
Now with the Divided Teachers, which was already difficult because the deck draws so much faster than other classes. But now with the Giggling Inventors, you can do different board fills, like with Giggling Inventor, Sword of the Forest combos and with the, you can waste your Violet Teachers and use spells and that. It's much, much harder to kill or clear all the boards. It's definitely like a complete deck, it feels like. And it's much stronger versus anti-aggro decks, probably even stronger against Evenlook as well.
It's really hard to clear. I mean, it takes 5 hits to clear the thing. That's why people were running Blood Knight, you know, just to even help with clearing that. So I think
Mossy Horrors.
Mossy Horrors too. Yeah, that's
I'll take 2 in my deck. I mean, Rogue can make a bunch in their decks if they wanted to.
That's true. Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I think Token Druids, it's one of those, you know, big swing or not swing, but you know, you kind of have to risk things, you know, when you're playing that against some of the decks right now, because a lot of the decks do have the ability to clear it whether it's like Pyros or it's like Primordial Drakes, and you just, there's almost every single clear is really, really good for token boards. It's token druid boards. So it's interesting how it does well, but I believe just by watching so much of it, that has a lot to do with just people just know how to play it way better than your average person. So that's why they do so well with it. Okay. Well, anyways, that's just kind of a look, guys. You guys can take a look at these decks. Of course, you can find these decks at hsreplay.net. I don't have the codes, obviously, here for you to copy easily, unfortunately. But
Back in my day, we didn't have a code.
Exactly, right. But you can find these on the meta tab. And, I mean, taking a look at that real quick. I mean, what do we got here? Just to look very, very briefly here. Last day, we've got Token Druid on top. Speaking of which, we're talking about rank 5, the legend, and then all the
so
hunters.
Much hunter.
Yeah, the hunters are just on fire. Look how many tier 1 lists there are right now. It's crazy. It's like 5 of them. And then, of course, the massive sea of tier 2.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Odd Rogue's taking a little bit of it.
But that's the nice thing about this meta that we've had the last couple of metas is there's so many lists.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to like back in the Jade Druid days when there was Jade Druid and Aggro Druid, and that was it. Now there's just so many lists, which is great for the game.
I mean, Odd Rogue was like a permanent fixture in Tier 1 for the first 3 weeks of this expansion. Now it's finally dropped into Tier 2, mostly because there's just, I mean, it's not like...
Oh, can you scroll down? Is that Spiteful Druid I see?
Yeah, Spiteful
Druid. Oh, making a comeback.
Yeah. Spiteful Druid was on the rise even last week when we were talking, right,
Fikara? I'm pretty sure it does good against recruits, right?
I haven't actually played it. Let me see. Let me just see what's in. I haven't played it that much, to be honest. Let's see what's in it that's really good. I mean, I know we were talking about last week, and it's been a little underrated. I don't think RDE thought it was that great, though, but I know a lot of people have been talking about Spiteful Druid the last week or so.
These changes usually have something to do with a dominant deck leaving the meta.
Right.
Like with Tempo Mage, as soon as Tempo Mage appears as a strong deck, it usually tells me people play less Druid or people play less Maligos Druid, because Tempo Mage loses to Barco Warrior and Maligos Druid horribly, but it can beat pretty much everything else. Like, destroy decks like Evenlock, Cube Lock, Rogues, like all sorts of Rogues.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we have here? Like,
oh my god.
Yeah, Spiteful Druid. Druid is also a deck that is good to assist. It's very bad to assist. What Paladin, I might say? Just faster decks. But we don't have like super fast decks. Like, it plays double MC tech, so it's good versus Zoo if they have like somewhat of a slow opener, but it should be super bad versus Odd Paladin. But there's no Odd Paladin in the meta.
Not really.
Yeah,
no.
It's kind of phasing out right now.
Then you can play like this one tier slower aggressive deck, mm-hmm. which is much better versus slower decks, just because,
So the play, I mean, the play is like floop into another summoner, right? Like, you're just getting three summoners, basically, right? Like, I'm assuming. Like,
or
I
triple
played this deck.
Tech, yeah. Easy clap.
Or triple giggling.
Yeah. Triple Let's giggling?
Go. Let's go!
That seems wasteful to me, but you might need it, yeah.
No,
against aggro.
Versus aggro.
Yeah, against aggro, I guess you need it, yeah.
Your Blood Knight versus the giggling, then they're like, haha, I have another giggling, and then you play floop and you have another Blood Knight, haha.
I've been going giggle crazy with Quest Rogue recently.
Oh, yeah.
Quest Rogue giggling is pretty good.
Quest Rogue. Yeah, Quest Rogue's been on our list of top 5. Like, last week, I think it was even there. So.
Blood Knight is a very strong card in the meta right now because so many people play giggling, but I think it only makes sense in aggressive decks. Like, playing Blood Knight in a control deck just doesn't do enough.
Yeah, because you're not trying to take board. You know, you're just trying to clear a board constantly. Right?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it does seem like a weird way to do it. Or Mossy would be better, just literally clearing the entire thing. So anyways, this is the Spiteful deck. It's performing well. I mean, give it a try. I mean, it's not that much different than the old one, of course. I mean, you can't really do that much with Spiteful Druid.
Well, yeah, you have Spitefuls are pretty hard. You're pretty easy to navigate as decks, for people who aren't as comfortable with Hearthstone.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a very curve-oriented deck, so... you just got curved stone-ish. Anything else in here that's kind of surprising? There's another spell hunter. What the heck? I thought that we. Oh no, no, that's spell hunter.
Yeah, Maligos Druid being sort of.
Oh, spell hunter's way lower. Okay.
Maligos Druid, most pros say, I agree. It's the best deck in the game right now, by far the best deck, and it's like 50% win rate deck. Just because, again, it the high, it has super high skill
cap. Yeah.
Yeah, we can look in.
A lot of these decks have actually a skill cap.
Yeah, it's a little bit higher. It's in Legend. It's 51.2. So.
Yeah, but it being the best deck in the game, it's a pretty damn low win rate.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like, again, there's, I think it has to do with, like, the pros are obviously the top of the, you know, the heap, right? So the popularity might not just match to that. There might be a lot of people that just aren't that great at that deck. Because you can't play this deck bad. You can, there's a lot of misplays in Malaga's
Trade. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's, like, surprising, like, how low the win rate is, considering how good this deck is.
That's what I mean. That's why you need performance ratings, dude. It's gonna be good. So secret. Remember we talked about the secret hunter last week with the
I got bashed by you and Nadia. Oh my god, this deck is not good.
I didn't say anything, like, dude. I didn't. Yeah, it was already you. It was already you that said it. I didn't say anything about it because I didn't.
Oh,
didn't
know this deck is a week old. It must be bad. Gar was playing Bar for 2 days, so this deck is outdated.
That was already you, man. That's all already
it's still good.
Yeah, it's clearly, I mean, definitely still good. I've heard people tweet about this, like, just it's just replay. So
I'm not as good anymore as building a deck, but I'm very, very good at seeing if a deck is good. Like, I saw this deck one time, like, Borg Control was playing it, and it was
He came up with it, right?
Yeah, 2 days after the expansion came out, and I knew it's one of the best decks in the game just by seeing the deck list. It is.
Have you played it, Felicia, at all?
I've played it slightly. I've played against it, and I've watched Boar play it, so I'm familiar with it. I don't know. Like, there's also a skill cap to beating hunters. Some people just like run their minions into the secrets, and you're just like, why aren't you playing around them? Like, you don't have to go face this turn. You can wait and then like deal with all the secrets at once, or I don't know. So there was like a game I was playing Evenlock, and I literally didn't attack face once.
Mm-hmm.
One, because he just knew the secrets would win his game, and I just never attacked his face.
Right. No, that is the way to beat them, right? Is to have them be stuck with the same secrets in their hands too.
Yeah, like just don't stoop to their level. But no, I've watched. I mean, I see the value in it, but if you can play around the secrets, then there's also that value.
I think this is great. This is how Hearthstone should be. That misplay should matter, and someone playing good should matter.
Yeah.
So, like, both players being able to do something with their skill is good that it matters. Again, it didn't matter for quite a long time, I feel like.
If you're playing an aggro deck, though, you have no choice. Like, you have
to. Right, yeah. Like, no, you have to. Yeah. But and then there's situations that you can wait.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you have a Mana Worm on board, you maybe don't want to attack with it. Maybe wait till your 2/3 on board.
Yeah, true.
You know?
No, those are the little decisions. Yeah, exactly. That. Can make a huge difference here, but yeah, still funny that this deck was created in the first days of the expansion, and it's still good right now. So it's really cool to see that,
because the card is good. It's like Dr. Five.
Yeah,
it's so good. It's five. If you cards, can put this card, if you can put this card in a good deck, then it's so sick. Like, 5 mana, draw 5 cards. Doesn't matter what you draw. It's so good value. It's insane.
Yeah, just.
And you can actually.
I heard a really interesting debate about that card between Zalay and Boar, because Boar wanted to play it for tempo, but Zalay was convinced they were now in a fatigue matchup, and he didn't want to filter the deck out. So I thought that it was actually a very interesting play.
Oh, that's true. I mean, I guess you could be in that kind of position, right? Where you're.
Yeah, because if you're going into Deathstalker Rexxar, then you're going more into control sometimes. So.
Yeah.
I think
makes
it's
sense.
Interesting situations.
Yeah. Zalay seems to always be in those situations where things might go into fatigue in a very, like, first time situation, right? He and Amnesiac had that.
Gosh. I was sitting there.
Yeah.
I was there. Were?
Oh, nice.
I went to the bathroom.
That was crazy.
Times. Yeah. Everyone's like, I'll probably be done in 10 minutes. I come back. It's an hour later. Still going.
And pass, draw off card. Waste a card, like, you know, kill nothing. And then,
rope the do nothing turn, okay?
right, exactly.
Speaking of fatigue, the Buenos Aires tournament. Yes. Like, I remember I finished my stream. I was making food. I was eating food. I was watching PNC versus race. Go to the gym, being on the treadmill for like half, 1.5 hours. They're still playing. I come back from the gym. They're still playing. I'm pretty sure the series lasted like 5 hours. It was ridiculous. It was like the longest series.
It was super long.
It was the same exact series for the entire evening.
Yeah, that was a pretty brutal one too. Yeah, so Buenos Aires was this past weekend. If you guys didn't see it, it was kind of weird because I don't like the production was. They had Lorinda and was it Derek like talking over, you know, basically the broadcast for the Spanish, or I think it's Spanish, not Portuguese, right? Like the Spanish broadcast. So it was just kind of like, it was kind of like an extra, I felt like it was almost like a side stream, you know, kind of feeling to it, which is a little bit strange, but yeah, I mean, definitely I saw the end of it. So I saw Monsanto and, well, I saw Muzzy, Monsanto. It was Lee and, God, who was the last one? I forget who the last person was in the bracket. Let me see. Oh, actually, they don't show it here. Great. Thanks, Blizzard. But definitely some great matches there if you guys want to check it out. I think if you want to see some different decks, because Muzzy brought up like 4 different decks that we talked about last week and kind of seeing how they perform, because they did perform well. And he actually ended up losing in the semis when he was favored, which was kind of a bummer for him in terms of just, you know, his draws or whatnot. But overall, you know, I think it was a pretty good event too. And, you know, like there's only a few more events left, I think, in the year, right? We got Germany. We've got one this week, which is, I think it's in Asia, right? Like, I forget which one is it? I was just looking at the schedule earlier. I just, I thought there was like another, is it? No, Bangkok already happened, right? So,
Why do you think there's only a few events left? Like, this is literally the first month of the
FTSE. Well, this, oh, I meant, okay, not few events, I guess. I was just kind of meaning like at least the...
There will be a lot of events.
Yeah, I guess there's still going to be a lot of events. I was thinking just more in this kind of August, September area, but I guess we still have like October. I thought it ends in October, no? Like
it just started. I mean, yeah, we have like August, September, October and November. Like it's again
four months.
Yeah, it's 4 months again.
Oh, that's right. I keep thinking it's like BlizzCon. Like again, it's not. Okay, so we still have like an entire.
It's in January
worth.
The finals.
Yeah. We got an entire season's worth. Yeah. So Tai Chung is this week right now. Not Tai Chung. Is this right?
I think this happened as well.
Yeah, Tai Chung already happened, right? So yeah, we have Buenos Aires. So we got so there's nothing this week actually. Sorry, I'm like looking at this. The schedule. So yeah, there's nothing this week. It's just global games this week, and then
DreamHack.
I mean, Gamescom
is next week.
Yeah, Gamescom. Is there an announcement for Hearthstone and Gamescom?
Isn't Tice doing something there right now?
Is he? Okay, maybe he is.
Gamescom, they haven't done any like announcements for Hearthstone in a long time.
Okay.
There used to be like global finals, but this is now at BlizzCon. And there used to be WCE finals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which also doesn't exist anymore. So Gamescom, I don't think.
Okay. So like, it looks like the next event might be Montreal, right? Like you were saying, DreamHack, yes. Montreal.
Yeah. And the playoffs. I mean,
and in the
one
playoffs,
of the biggest.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. The next week.
Yeah. This is the following week. Yeah. And then, no, actually, Oslo is the 29th through August 1st. And that's season three. That's a tour stop. Is that? I don't know. I would think the playoffs would be in their schedule here, but I don't know. I'm looking at their schedule here. I'm just going to link it in the chat. And so take it for what's on there. It looks like Oslo is 29th to the August 1st. And there's nothing in between that, which kind of surprises me. You'd think there would be more in September. But anyways, lots of, you know, still lots more of HTT happening. And, so listen, are you going to play HTT some more? Or, I mean, you went to DreamHack, right? Austin, right? Are you going to,
she's like, you what, mate?
Yeah, I went to DreamHack Austin for fun.
Yeah.
But it really encouraged me to start trying harder. And that's what basically led me to this like early legend and all that. Mm-hmm. So maybe you'll see me in a tournament.
Yeah, cool.
As of now, no.
Okay, okay. I mean, I feel like FTK probably has room for another team if they wanted. Like,
right, yeah, so because we only have an FTK. A team. We don't have a B team, even right. though we have plenty of people to fill
yeah,
it up.
I feel like that, yeah, exactly. But okay, well, why don't we take some questions, guys? We don't have any Q&A from emails today, so if you guys in the chat have any questions, we will take some and be happy to answer anything you guys might be wondering about anything related to Hearthstone or whatever. Let me actually double-check the email and make sure that, like, our friend, regular... Ahmed N has a question, but it doesn't look like it. Oh, it looks like we do have a question from Richard M. It says, have any higher ranked players explored treachery, control, warlock? And he says, in context, in your last podcast, you mentioned how hard it is to counter various builds, short of using demonic project. I find that control warlock with treachery and Halfiend has a lot going for it. You've got the demonic project to ruin like Mechathunes or anything like that, and you can beat many control combo decks by discarding their combos, and control lock is a good base. It's essentially tech against combos in the hand. Yeah, so treachery control lock, it like had a little moment there, like in Kobolds, maybe, was it? I can't remember actually when it was, but there was some interesting moments. I know people like Savis have played on stream and things like that, but I don't know, anything to that, guys? Like, you guys have any experience with it?
Yes. So first of all, Doc played it from
the Oh, did players. He? Did he play it like in a competitive yeah. event?
Not in a competitive okay. event, but on High Legend. All his meme decks are usually on High Legend.
Okay. Right. Just making sure it's a meme deck, like when that in context there.
The problem with the deck is the two strongest cards you still have are like Lecky and Skull of the Minari, and you can't play the... What is the minion called? The 3/6.
The ghoul.
The ghoul. You can't play the ghoul because it's a demon with skull, and that's your best card. So that is bad. So it seems like a worse version of the best warlock decks.
Mm.
It's too slow. It requires too many cards as a setup. It also doesn't just require you to draw the cards, but to also have the mana. And I think people are underestimating how fast, let's say, Torkwoggle Druid is. It's super fast. Oftentimes, they have the full combo with the reduced Torkwoggle plus Azalina before you even draw one project yeah. as a control warlock. Yeah. It's as a regular control warlock. It's insane. Before you draw one project, they already drew the entire deck. It's just super fast. I feel like it's just too slow. I think normal Torkwoggle warlock is even better. The one that plays Hemet, that just kills your deck. I think it's faster. That would also counter these control decks. I think that's not too bad. I maybe I will play that more again now that I mentioned
okay.
it
myself. Yeah.
But I think the other one is just too slow. And again, you don't play Skull. It's your best card.
All right. GJC has a question here. I'll just throw this to you, Celissa. Which deck in this meta has you tilted the most? What broken deck is frustrating to play against?
Oh man, easy. The most frustrating to play against. I mean, that question's always like, to me, it's like whatever you like the most, it's whatever counters that deck, right?
Right. Yeah. Yep.
So, what's the most frustrating to play against? Like, as of now, anything with Death Rattle Rogue, Death Rattle Hunter, I think are both really strong. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it comes frustrating. I think Quest Rogue's always frustrating.
That's like, mine.
They get their quest off.
Yeah, I Quest Rogue is definitely fresh. I don't play against a lot, surprisingly. I think playing against the Azalina King Togwoggle decks are frustrating to play against. I think
okay,
those are like decided.
I call that Do Nothing Druid. They yeah. literally do nothing
yeah.
forever. They just, you know, oh, I'm going to armor. Oh, I'm going to draw. Oh, I'm going to. And then then they just switch them, and you're just like,
yeah.
Okay.
Like, I think the worst experience is when you get your hopes up because you might have a chance against Maligos through it, and then it's Torgwaggle, and then it's completely the opposite.
Yep. I mean, now that you said that, who was it that's playing Azalina, right? Like,
Tyler, yeah.
Yeah, Tyler's playing Azalina.
Playing Maligos, Azalina. Azalina.
That's brutal. Yeah. So you're like, you're happy that you play Azalina. It's like, wait, you would not have done that first, right? There's no way you would have done that first. No, so it makes me question whether Mill is, you know, like, it's good for the game if Mill is actually a high tier deck, you know, because
no, it's not good for the game.
I mean, it's like, it's an entertaining type of way to play, like Hearthstone. I just don't think it's a very healthy, competitive way to play Hearthstone.
It's the same with Questrook. Questrook should never be a tier one deck. It's so bad for the game. Like, it should be a niche counter deck, but it should never be a tier. It's the same with J-Druid. J-Druid should never be like the best deck in the game, which is completely logical because...
I mean, I think there's scenarios where it's okay for, not J-Druid, but like Quest Rogue, but it has to be so hard to pilot. Like crazy, crazy hard. Kind of like, you know, APM Priest right now.
I
know,
can
like,
see that, yeah.
If it's that hard to pilot, then I'm okay with, you know, this type of single player type of game. You know what I mean? But it has to be super, super hard. So that not very many people can do it.
That's the biggest issue I have with Druids. Most tier one Druid decks used to be quite easy to play, or like to play to a level that you get a high win rate. Most of the time, just keeping Wild Growth, playing Wild Growth, and then play a very powerful 4-mana card into Nourish, into Ultimate Infestation is a very powerful line to win the game. And almost everyone knows how to do that. Yeah. But if it's very difficult to win, then the deck can be... Like, I was fine with Razakos Priest, even though so many people hated it.
Yeah, it was actually just fine. Yeah.
Very few people played it on High Legend. Very, very few. Only who played it perfect. Because you could counter it and you had to play it perfect, like, to get to High Legend. Because, yeah, there was so much skill in
it. Yeah, it wasn't that strong fine. At lower ranks, right? It just wasn't that strong because of the same reason. Yeah. Yeah, somebody's saying APM. Yeah, APM is bad. Exactly. Right. I mean, if it was actually super good for, you know, certain people who understood it, like, backwards and forward, then I would be okay with that priest still making it in there, you know, at the event level. But because, you know, it's not that good, it's kind of where it should be. Like, decks that are, I think, more meme-ish or have that type of feel to it, I think belong in that entertainment bucket, you know, more so than it does competitive.
I've lost to Do Nothing Priest a couple times, aka the Mechathun Priest.
Oh yeah.
And yeah. So I tried to pilot it myself off stream maybe 2 nights ago, and I lost every game. So then I decided I wasn't as mad anymore about it. Yeah. But when you lose to it, you're just like, they just drew their hand and then they did nothing. They literally did nothing.
Right.
But I did learn it was a little bit not a great. Deck,
they
really.
Remove stuff. I mean, I think it's unfair to say they do nothing. They actually
they do nothing.
They almost do nothing. All right, but
they do nothing, and I do Pippa Hands on curve. That's how I like to call it. I play Barkovery and I do Pippa Hands turn 10.
So I know what they should do. They should add a fifth wing to Puzzle Lab. That's do nothing. Like you say, they should call it do nothing, and it's basically a bunch of good, like Mechathune type of puzzles and whatever.
King Tyro.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Draw your deck. That's like all they do is they just draw. Yeah. Draw.
How do you draw all your cards and then kill your opponent in one turn? Yeah, like that sort of thing. That'd be funny. Okay, see, we got another question here. Do you really think they will nerf Quest Rogue a third time? I don't know if they should or shouldn't, but I don't think they will because it's not out of control yet. You know, like, I think they need to, you know, if the stats show that it's, like, being played, you know, at a not a crazy high play rate, yet in the, you know, the win rate isn't, like, ridiculously high, then I think... they probably do nothing.
What I find interesting about that right now, even though Questrook might be stronger than ever before, just in raw power level, we have too many options. We never had so many decks you can theoretically play that are good. And this is why so few people play Questrook. Like, we had metas where you have only like literally three decks to play that good.
It's kind of popular, to be honest. It's like 2.9%, which is actually pretty high.
I started playing it for the first time, and I'd never played Quest Road before. This is my first time.
Yeah,
after so many metas, so I'm not good at it.
Because of Legend. Look at this. Legend's 4.31%. I mean, it's because of Legend players the way it's being played. Look at this, man. I mean, this is obviously a lot higher, but this is pretty high. Like, this is.
Wait, what's the Odd Rogue? That's all I see.
Yeah, Odd Rogue
makes sense.
Yeah, right there. That's what you're seeing.
I'm saying Odd Rogue, Death Rattle Hunter. It's just like crazy amounts.
This just tells you you're supposed to, if you want to get past the gatekeeper, you just play Death Rattle Hunter. that's what people are doing, clearly. But yes, yeah, so anyways, like Quest Rogue right now, that's the seventh most popular deck in Legend. So that's probably why. I don't know. Maybe
it went also a bit higher because of the Baku Warriors. If Baku Warriors is now like the strongest deck, you destroy it with Quest Rogue. I mean, 4% is still not like that problematic.
Yeah, it's way down.
It's kind of high, but I'm happy. Like, I feel like Shadowwalk Shaman in the previous meta, I faced like every other game. Like, it felt like 50% of the games.
Oh, I haven't seen Shadowwalk in a long time.
Oh, thank God.
Unless it's tempo, but.
No, this is the one that's actually grumble and stuff. Okay,
that was frustrating to face Shadowwalk Shamans. You never enjoy playing against it.
I know that I'm gonna play tomorrow.
Shadowwalk, yes, do it. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Only to annoy someone.
Oh no, I'm gonna get sniped.
Okay, any last questions? We'll take one more and then we'll probably call it. Did I miss one up here? I think so. Well, actually, in the meantime, while we're waiting for a question, I do want to give a shout out to our patrons that have been supporting the show for a long time. So if you're interested in supporting ValueTown, go to patreon.com/ValueTown and throw a pledge our way. Really, really appreciate it. But want to give a shout out to our legendary producer, Mike T, as well as a bunch of other awesome longtime patrons, Bryce L, Dave C, Alpha4004, who's actually a new patron. And Code Chemist, Farron F, Chris Chilmall, Blake T, Eric L, Jackpot77, Nathan W, Kevin G, Mike T, Richard M, A Random Guy, yes, that's his actual name, and Alistair M. Thanks so much, guys. Just to name a few of you guys. You guys have always been amazing. And, of course, Value Time is an HS Replay show, so obviously go to HS Replay, find the best stats, all that good stuff. Follow us on HS Replay Net. We've been posting a lot of stuff recently. I've been really trying to hammer this out with just Tiago, and we've been getting a lot of great stuff out, you know, in that way. We're not writing as many articles these days. We're just trying to get it all out on Twitter. So try to follow that and get some cool stats that way. Any last ones here? Yeah, I don't think there's going to be any questions, so we can call it. But Salissa, it's been a lot of fun having you on this week.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, Gara like brought it up maybe a couple weeks ago, and just like, you should have Salissa on. I'm like, oh yeah, we should totally have Salissa on. Like, I know Salissa. She lives here. So
yeah, we're neighbors.
Exactly. We're not quite neighbors, but yeah, pretty close. You're probably closer to me than anybody else in the Hearthstone
community. Right. I mean, closer than.
Yeah, yeah. So no, a lot of fun having you on. And again, for those of you that don't know Salissa, you want to give a shout out for, you know, where people can find you and all that good stuff.
Oh yeah. So, I stream on Twitch almost every day, except for Saturday, starting at 9:30 AM Eastern. I stream, and I also have a Twitter, F2K Salissa. It's on the screen, and I just started YouTube. Well, look that up.
Literally just started. Like, I was looking, it's like, wow, there's like three videos, like two videos or whatever many. So be one of the first on there. You know, so
yeah.
Salissa, amazing. You can say you were the first. Everybody loves to say first on videos. So.
Second,
exactly. Gar, you want to do some shout outs?
Shout outs to my stream. I stream every single day as well. Garbage Shaman, you guys know.
Garbage. I always think you say garbage shaman. I don't know why I always think
like garbage
that.
To me.
I don't know why it sounds like.
It's weird that we connotate him with garbage.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. Sorry, guys.
All social medias. Follow me on Instagram. Yeah. Everywhere, garbage shaman. Shaman. I'm going to become the new British host.
You still playing WoW or no?
Yeah, I did all the mythics yesterday in one day. That was pretty efficient. So I'm staying like on top in WoW by just playing like once or twice per week, which is pretty cool. WoW is pretty like no content till like next month basically as well. Like then they will unlock all like arena.
Oh, is that how it's working? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's like nothing going on basically till 4th of September. So basically, yeah, a lot of puzzling. But tomorrow I will just go back to the Hearthstone grind. I'm gonna try to finish top 20 legend this month, and it basically starts tomorrow. The grind, I think.
20. Are you gonna grind with warrior?
I will see. I think Maligos Druid will be the best deck. I mean, I saw five different people posting rank one legend with Maligos Druid in the last 24 hours.
Yeah. That sounds like a good idea. Actually, where's Maligos? Oh yeah, Maligos was around.
Even 8.27. Not to disregard Xixo, but Xixo hasn't done rank one legend in quite a while. There was like this joke going on because Xixo got rank one legend all the time, and like, but he was kind of like slacking on ladder for the last year or so. But now he's back to rank one legend. So
yeah, that's true. I never really thought about that. Like, what has Xixo been doing in terms of HCT these days? He's just
but ladder apparently.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's just like you can. I think people really underestimate like how big of a grind it is. If you want to compete in Hearthstone, especially in Europe, you can only, most of the time, only do it for 1 year before you get completely burned out. I think this is the main reason why you will see like world champions like quit Hearthstone or do a long break after they win worlds, because the grind for that year is absolutely inhuman. Like,
right.
If you just look at Sintolol, like he had to take a very long break. Like he finished rank one in points last year.
Yeah.
And then he just had to take a 3 month break or whatever, like this year. And this is basically for everyone. And I think it happened to Xixo as well, but Xixo grinded for years, much longer than most people. And he was on top for a very long time. I think you just get burned out. That's what I think. You just can't do it for like 4 years in a row.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah, we still need to do more for our champions. I feel like the champs should just be like automatically invited to the prelims or something like that. As crazy and terrible as that might sound to like all the average players, I mean, you know, they still have to play. If they're not playing, then they're going to do terrible anyways, right? So it's not. It's like more of a gesture to past champions. Like I just feel like we just need to do more for these people, because otherwise, it's like you win the world championship and then the next season starts. And then there's, you know, like you start from zero again. Well, maybe it's not from zero again, but you know what I mean.
Now you have like these master tiers, which nobody will reach except two people in the entire world.
Yeah. So
I think in Europe, it's only Fino or so, but that like he will barely reach like master tiers.
No, Hunter Ace is Hunter.
Hunter Ace. Yeah. But that's like one person.
Come yeah. On. Hunter Ace is like by far, I think the top now. Right. So
I
agree. I mean, I think what's going to happen is they're going to adjust it at least. You know, they're going to adjust it so everybody gets money, you know, like that they were originally planning on giving out. But they'll have to figure out what that right value is actually next year when that comes around. One thing I forgot to mention too is the standings. Like, so Tempest Storm's number one now on the list. FDK is number two, Celissa. So that's kind of
what happened. We were number one forever. And I saw that yesterday and I was like, wait.
I mean, Tempest Storm's just been on fire. I mean,
why? Okay,
I know what happened. Like, Bot Control actually told me.
Okay, tell me.
Bot Control said they will finish second because Tempest Storm, they were slacking on ladder. Like, we have these 4 months where 3 months count, and everyone at F2K already got like all the top finishes in the first 3 months. So basically, they kept out on points, and Tempest Storm could, like, they were second. But they could gain so many points from the last month in ladder because they didn't do anything in the first month. And just overall, they had better tournament finishes in the past.
Yeah, I mean, I just think the tournament finishes, they've just been doing super well. Yeah. I mean,
no, but why, like F2K was literally like Slissa said, rank one for till the standings came out. It's just because Tempestorm could get so many points from ladder from the last month.
Oh, it's just literally like, from last month?
Yeah.
Literally? Oh, okay. I didn't realize it was
like there were so many points they all of them could get from.
Yeah. But, you know, it's also Muzzy, or I mean more so Muzzy, basically finishes top four at every tournament. Like, I feel like every tournament he's been to recently, he's been finishing top four. So, you know, Fino had that run too, like early on in the season. I think that's reflected in his points and in FTK's points. So, you know, in the end, it's going to be a battle. I mean, I don't think the, are the teams going to play each other in the end? I don't even know what happens. Or is it just like, that's just
it? I don't think so. Is that just it?
Okay. Okay.
It's pretty boring, right? Because they don't really hype it up or announce it anywhere. Yeah. Like, where did you even see like the final stands?
I mean, we got the standings posted at least today. Yeah, Elliot. So they have the whole spreadsheet or the PDF with all the points on there too. Like how they were distributed, like when they got it and all that stuff. It's pretty cool.
I feel like it should be posted all the time at every HCT Tour stop, like during casting and stuff. Like who's currently on top.
There should just be a page that's like updated. Not real time.
That as well.
It takes a little bit to update, right? It takes like a little
behind. I mean, it shouldn't. I mean, let's be real. Like, it's, we're talking about like a few points being, you know, updated.
Come on, man. It's
like
a small indie company.
Okay. All right. Anyways, this was supposed to be shout outs. Turned into like another segment, but we should wrap up now. But thanks to two of you guys.
Shout out to Blizzard. I love it so much. Yeah,
exactly.
Thanks to the puzzles, Blizzard.
Puzzle Labs. Exactly. Amazing. But thanks everybody for watching. You guys are amazing. Of course, the YouTube is going to be available. YouTube.com/HSReplayNet. Guys, go there. Start getting the VODs there. And then we'll be on audio on the normal channels. It's going to be on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud and Spotify as well. Just look up Value Town if you're, and leave us a rating too if you enjoy the show, because it helps people find the show if they're looking for it. But that's gonna be it, guys, for this week. So for Salissa, Gara, and myself, Champion B, we'll see you next week.